far into it.
For the message today, I'm going to be not right at the very beginning here, but Sylvia is going to come up and read a chapter from the book of Isaiah. And then after that, and we're going to talk about that. And then my wife Kathy is going to come out of helping out there, and she's going to read Psalm 139, the whole chapter. So I'm not going to be saying too much today. I'm sure that's going to make some people very happy. I know Joe made Joe happy. So I was just really glad to see the choice of songs. Let me just let's see. The song "What Child Is This?" Love that song and the whole thing about peace on earth, goodwill of men. What's that say about the God that we serve? That He presents the Word of God made flesh, and it's going. He's assuring us there's going to be a time, a kingdom of peace. And there's going to be goodwill toward men. I mean, this coming kingdom is such a... It should blow our minds when we really consider it. It's kind of hard to relate because the world's kingdoms are not so wonderful. But there is going to come a time when goodness and right and righteousness and peace and joy is going to be what is really going to be foremost in the hearts of men. And that's going to be a wonderful time when that shows up. And so we've talked about the kingdom of God already. The last couple times we've been talking about His coming and His kingdom. And He's coming back as king. He's not coming back again where He has to die again for things that we've done. That has been done once for all. And He is now coming back where He is going to rule and reign. And as I was contemplating that, I really thought about, He really is. He is worthy of all of that. He is worthy to reign. He's worthy of our attention. And I think Sylvia said that, he's worthy. And I want us today just to consider the greatness, the grandness of the God that we serve. What He's done, who He is. Okay? So, really, just embrace what we're going to be going over today. So, this is why we're going to have these long chapters read, and I just feel that grab a hold, embrace as you hear the words in these chapters. And I'm going to ask, after Sylvia is done, I'm going to ask you, what is it that really stood out to you in those verses? Just one thing. You'll probably get more out of it, but how just great and glorious He is and the things that he's done. I want to play a song before Sylvia gets up. This song is called "Mary, Did You Know?" Now, all of you, like most of you at least, have heard that song. And it just describes Jesus. And think about who He is and what He's done and how worthy He is of all of our praise. And He is worthy of blessings and honor and glory. Amen?
Amen.
He is. Nobody else is. He is. And that's where our attention is today and really all through the whole year should be that way. So if we could... oh yeah, you got it up. So let's hear that.
Precious word. Father God, I know it's a lot of reading, but Lord, we ask that you would show us what's in your word, that it would touch our hearts, that you would give us wisdom and understanding about how great and mighty and wonderful and loving and glorious you are, Father God. So Lord, we just thank you and give us ears to hear, a mind to understand, and a heart to receive what's in your word. Thank you, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 40. Comfort, yes. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The voice said, "Cry out." And he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fade, but the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountains, O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and gently lead them who are with young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heavens with a span, and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust of scales. Look, he lifted up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beasts sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? The workman molds an image. The goldsmith overspreads it with gold, and the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits upon the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth. When he will also blow on them, and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high, and see who has created these things, who brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, My way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God is the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. Neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and they shall not grow weary. They shall walk and they shall not faint. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Just wanted to know what I know it's a long reading. What do you get out about who God is and how? What did you get from that? I hope you got something.
He's a fair God.
He's what?
A fair God.
He's fair.
He has no equal.
He has no equal. Anything else?
He comforts us.
He comforts us. He really does he? Now, I don't want it to be academic here. I want you to really think about it and embrace the fact the God that we serve. Oh, fantastic. Amen? Anything else? Yeah.
I like that he even gives all the stars a name.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh, he cares that God, much just, you know, about creation.
Yes.
How much more does he care about us?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
It's like,
and that's what this next scripture is really going to get be getting into. He's powerful.
Yeah.
How does he's outside and bigger than the universe? Can you imagine that?
Yes.
And this is the God that we serve. This should, I don't know about you, but you know, but when you contemplate that and you contemplate the vastness of the universe. And you know, there's a reverence. There's a fear of God. We're not even in the same league. You know what I mean? And that's even a trite thing to say when we're talking about God. But we need to remember we're going to be standing before that being at some point. Ooh. All of us are going to stand before this mighty, almighty God. How great is our God? And we can sing that, but boy, wait until we're actually standing in front of him. You know, and I think we need to contemplate on this. It might change the way we act sometimes. Right? So, Psalm 139 is the other one that I thought we should just hear the whole thing. So, Kathy, you're going to read that?
Okay. You want me to stand there? Or?
You can if you want to.
I don't need to. I'm loud.
Just a note before I read Psalm 139. When we first came back here, after a few years, I got a job at St. Michael's School, Catholic school, and I was the only non-Catholic there. So I couldn't take communion, but they allowed me to teach their children, which was even better most of the time. So I had 23 lovely little children, and they allowed me to do devotions before I started teaching the regular classes. And so, and I had no parameters. They trusted me for some reason to do that. So, of course, devotions we had first thing in the morning, and I thought, well, Lord, what would be best to teach these children? And so, of course, the first scripture I wanted them to learn was John 3:16. So we spent about 2 weeks on that. And then after that, I thought, Lord, what would be a good scripture for these children to know and hold with them the rest of their lives? Because I intended to teach them to memorize scriptures so that, you know, when you're a kid, the things that you remember, the things you memorize, sometimes they come back to you later in life when you really need them. So this psalm was the psalm that I wanted the kids to memorize. Well, it's pretty long. And these were first graders. And I was teaching them out of King James Bible. I didn't even think of it till about halfway through. I'm thinking, uh-oh. But I was allowed to do it. So Psalm 139 was the psalm that these kids, I'm hoping, still bring with them now in their hearts.
They memorized the whole, all that you're going to hear. Those kids, first graders, memorize Psalm 139.
Yeah. Oh Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit or stand. When far away, you know my every thought. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment, you know where I am. You know what I'm going to say before I even say it. You both precede and follow me and place your hand of blessing on my head. This is too glorious, too wonderful to believe. I can never be lost to your spirit. I can never get away from my God. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. If I ride the morning winds to the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me, your strength will support me. If I try to hide in the darkness, the night becomes light around me. For even darkness cannot hide from God. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are both alike to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit them together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. It is amazing to think about. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You were there while I was being formed in utter seclusion. You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. How precious it is, Lord, to realize that you are thinking about me constantly. I can't even count how many times a day your thoughts turn towards me. And when I waken in the morning, you are still thinking of me. Now, this next part, I didn't have them memorize because it's a little gory for first graders, but I'm going to read it, though. Surely you will slay the wicked, Lord. Away, bloodthirsty men, be gone. They blaspheme your name and stand in arrogance against you. How silly can they be? Oh, Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I be grieved with them? Yes, I hate them, for your enemies are my enemies, too. And last, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test my thoughts. Point out anything you find in me that makes you sad, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Yes.
What really stood out to you in those verses?
I find it's a personal relationship that we're having with our God. He's watching over every day. Carrying us through whatever it is that we need to carry through. He's always there.
He's always there, even when we don't realize it. You know, we're about doing our whatever work we're doing, or you know, talking to somebody, going to the store. He's there. Wherever we are, he's there. Isn't that fantastic? And it's good to think about this and to understand, you know, every place you and I can't go anywhere and he's not there. And he's watching us, and his thoughts. I really love that word. He says, he's thinking about me constantly. Mm-hmm. I mean, doesn't that warm your heart? Mm-hmm. That God is, you know? And I think a lot of times we think, well, God doesn't think about me. Mm-hmm. No, the scripture is very clear that he thinks about us, and thinks about us in a really wonderful way. And there's a scripture in Philippians that says that he's taken hold of us for particular things to do in this life. And Paul says in Philippians, he says, not that I've taken a hold of the things he wanted me to do yet. I haven't done them all yet, but I'm pressing toward that. I'm moving in that direction. And that should be what our hearts are as well. So as we contemplate the advent of the Lord and his first coming, but also remember his second coming, and that he already lives within us, and we can't go anywhere without him being there with us, and that he loves us, and he's always thinking about us, and he cares for us, and he has great plans, and for us to learn how to connect and be sensitive and hear his voice and be obedient and do what he wants us to do in this life. Not the little things, the big things. Isn't that right? That's what he. I felt the Lord was speaking to us here. There is one other song, and I'd like to finish that. Finish the message just with this song. It's by a famous gospel singer named Paul Wilbur, and the song is "Nobody Like You." And I think that what I have there is one that has the universe as a background. And you're going to see pictures of the universe as he sings this. He's going to talk about there's nobody like God and that he's worthy. Okay? So this kind of sums it up. The circle of the earth. Lord, I just thank you. How great you are, and how wonderful you are, and how worthy you are of our attention, our worship, our praise unto you, Lord. I pray that we would be those that would bow down in our hearts through this time, especially, and contemplate who you are and your worthiness for serving you and being obedient to you. Thank you for all that you've done, your salvation, for residing in your people's hearts, Lord, to guide us and lead us into all truth, and Lord, to live a life that's pleasing unto you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're coming back. You're going to destroy the kingdoms of this world and set up the kingdom of Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Where everybody will belong, and there will be goodness and rightness and justice. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know, I think it's absolutely amazing that he knew us before our parents thought of us.
That's right.
Isn't
that fantastic?
Yeah. And then who are the gave his counsel? You know, God is God. There's nothing better than God. Nobody's smarter or more wisdom or godly.
I think today was a day of remembering, right? It's remembering who we are in Christ and what God really is. It was a beautiful way of doing it. It was a common theme to know that there's a God supporting us at all times.
That's right.
You know, and I just love that about that. Steve, You have that prayer. I'm going to have Steve come up. He was talking about this prayer, and just felt like it might be a good way to end the service.
In your name, we thank you for all the blessings you put forth upon us daily. We thank you that your blessings come to us in many different forms, sometimes as challenges and opportunities, that we may draw ever closer to you in faith and understanding. Your daily bread is plentiful. We ask that you forgive us with your great grace, as our human brains and hearts are at times overwhelmed by our life circumstances and events. In these times, we ask that you pull the blinders from our eyes to see that your beautiful hand is at work and give us peace instead of strife. With that, I pray that you watch over Melinda in her recovery, keep her spirits and strength up. I pray for the Enman family that they have the strength. This is for all of us. We have the strength to do whatever we have to do emotionally and physically in these times that we live in. I pray that their strength and our strength is drawn from you, Lord. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three gather in my name, I am with them." Lord, although we are not physically in the same place, we are gathered, connected through you, and we ask that you meet us here again, wherever that is, for without you, we are not enough. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So they've got five kids. Dustin has a business. They have a little farm with everything you can think of, maple syrup, different types of fruits and everything. They have cows. They're like us, except 10 times bigger. And in the middle of all that, they can send us stuff like this. So that's pretty cool. Thank you. Let that be your prayer for the week.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.